It's a pleasure to be able to speak and say something. I hope it's not too much of a toroman for you. Have to listen. When Ajahn Kevali asked if I would say something, I was like, oh, what to talk about? In England, I lived a long time with Ajahn Sumedho, and this wasn't something that he did after the meal. So it's something not particularly used to. However, there's a theme which I often like to talk about when I give talks, and I think even for Sangha, I think it's something I hope is helpful and relevant and quite simple. I really like to emphasize in our practice the daily life aspect. We have obviously the formal practice times, and the formal practice is of course an important part of what we're doing, developing sitting, formal walking, but it's something that we sometimes, I wouldn't say we overlook, because I know even here at Wapanana Chat it's probably emphasized quite a lot. There are the duties we have, the responsibilities we have, and of course the encouragement to bring attention to be mindful, pay attention, just as we're going about doing whatever we need to be doing during the day, going on pindapat, eating the meal, washing the bowls, going back to your kuti. You know, the whole 24 hours is an opportunity for practice. And what I noticed in my own experience, and this could be useful, but I noticed that there can be a sort of an attitude or a way in which, and I speak from my own experience, in the way in which I would go about this, which was in some ways helpful and in some ways not. So this is what I really want to share and talk a little bit about. Like any practice, when we pick it up, when we start, it's a bit unfamiliar, it's a bit new, so we're sort of trying to get a handle on how to do this. You know, even with something like paying attention to the breath, like, you know, someone, you know, just, oh, pay attention at your nostrils, or notice the rise and fall of your belly. You know, it's very simple, isn't it? So we try that, and we can do that perhaps for a little while. But then we find it's not so straightforward, and you know, the mind wanders, and we start to need to engage more with actually the, you know, our mind as it is, with its defilements, with its quirks, you know, its idiosyncrasies. It's very, you know, the very particular things which perhaps seem to be something familiar to you, but maybe someone else has something different, or it's not an issue, it's not a problem for someone else. And then we can take the formal way of doing something, or even the encouragement to be mindful, pay attention in our ordinary activities. And we can become a little bit like rigid, or tight, like in just in the doing of it. So I think it's very common, isn't it? You know, we all want to be fit within the, you know, the form, do the right thing, the beautiful thing. So, you know, in the sala or going about the monastery, we fit into the form of how we should walk, how we should move, when we bow, how we bow, how we speak, when we put our hands in Anjali and when we don't, and you know, all these little things. And gradually, over time, we become more familiar with the external form of that. And then we can be less anxious, less worried about that. And this is really important. You know, we know the basics. We know the simple moves, what to do. We're in the right place at about the right time. It's good enough. Yeah. And then really important that we know and remember how to relax and soften inside the activity. This is something we can practice those times of the day, perhaps when you're more on your own. Like you're going from here and you're just walking back to your kuti. How can you enjoy walking? You're not doing formal walking practice. How can you enjoy the walking? Your feet touching the ground, the rhythm of your body moving. You notice how the air feels on your skin, you hear the sounds of the forest. Like your attention is just fairly open, relaxed. There's nothing in particular you have to do. You're just walking back to your kuti. You're in no hurry, hopefully. No need to be in a rush. Take your time. What makes walking enjoyable? Are you holding your body in some way as you're walking? Maybe you notice this. There's a way in which you feel, oh, I'm marching back to my kuti because I'm tired and I want to lie down. You know, so already the mind has run ahead. Yeah. We're not actually with the walking. Or we're thinking about something that's happened. I do this all the time. Even in England, I have to walk up a hill to get to my kuti. And I've made it a practice when I leave like the main building, I leave from here, going to my kuti, start off, if I can, I start off, walking. Yeah. And see if I can pay attention the whole way back to my kuti. Often I find I'm already part way to my kuti, and then I remember, oh yes, walking back to my kuti. I forgot to start off with that. Yeah. But partway there, maybe, just a moment, walking. Why am I in such a hurry? Why am I lost in all this, you know, thinking about whatever's just been going on, what I'm going to do later, the things to do, just lost in some daydream. And I come back. Oh, noticing my feet. And I've made a practice of enjoying the rhythm of my walking. finding what is comfortable, what is enjoyable. So it's something that I like to come back to. If we make our practice something that's like, oh, you know, I have to do this, and we tighten up around it, very soon we become averse and we have dislike. So then practice is something we associate with something we dislike. It's like we're not going to want to do it for very long. Yeah. This is discouraging. So it's like finding how can we make practice just in really simple ways something in which we find there is a flavour of something enjoyable. And even in the daily life activities, sometimes I would experiment and how can I even make it fun? Yeah. When we are children, or even when you look at young children, love to play. And play is the way in which, as humans, this is the most effective way in which we learn. This is a well-known thing, I think, in education, is when we play. How can we be playful in our practice? Like have that attitude that what we are doing is playing rather than working. Yeah. We probably already have a very strong, like, work ethic. Now this, a lot of modernity, modern culture is around striving and achieving, making a lot of effort. Maybe not for all of us, but I think for many of us, this is something we've learned from very young. It's already there, that sort of attitude. Even if we are quite lazy in some ways, the laziness is often a reaction to, like this, a monster that sits on our shoulder and says we have to try harder. You know, we should be doing more. We should this. We should that. We've got to. Yes. Something which is driving and looking to achieve, looking to attain. So what I'm suggesting is something which is just looking to balance that out a little bit. I'm not saying that achieving, attaining, working hard, striving is wrong. I'm not saying that. I'm saying sometimes we're a bit out of balance with it. We don't know when to be a little softer, a little more gentle, a little more measured. It's like knowing what is enough. So, the Buddha, of course, encouraged practice, encouraged making effort, but a balanced effort. The point is not to be the one who is the most impressive in being able to sit the longest or do the most difficult practices. Sometimes that can just be associated with another form of actually building an identity. You know, I am the one who's this. There's pride, conceit in that. And the point of the practice is to find what works for us, And this is something then we need to really try and find out for ourselves what works, and what's the right balance for me, what works for me. Do I need to give myself quite a strong container, you know, be quite firm with myself, quite strict, you know, otherwise I'm all over the place and I need some containment. And just to have a reflection and a balance there. Or am I already a little too tight, and perhaps a little anxious, or highly strung? What does it mean for me to relax and to soften a little bit in the practice? How can I bring a little more metta, a little more kindness, a little more gentleness? How does that, what effect does that have? Like when we notice that, like that quality, perhaps we find as we go about during the day, or we find when we come to sit, if we give a little more emphasis to practicing in this way, then when we sit, the sitting, it's less pressured, it's less stressed, it feels smoother. We don't always feel like we've got quite that sharp quality of attention. So we think, am I doing the right thing? Is this right? It feels quite nice, but is it right? Am I practicing right? So we need to be willing to treat this or consider this as an experiment. It's like we're also willing to experiment, and experimentation is like a form of play. Like, what if I try like this? What happens? And hopefully what we find with a little bit of experimenting, we find something which is like, yeah, you know, this feels right. Well, this works, this like this balance this much. I need to bring attention back, I need to remember to come back to, like, come back to the breath, or come back to the body, feeling the body. I give a lot of attention usually in my own practice just to the sitting itself, body sitting. I started off several years doing a lot of anapanasati, so attention tends to come back to the breath anyway, but I noticed over time my practice was tended to be too hard, like I'm hammering away on the breath. Yeah, have that sort of quality. It's like how to soften that, how to ease that. So for me, what's been really helpful is this giving a lot more attention just in the body, noticing tightness, noticing tension, seeing where the body is willing to relax, willing to soften, being very patient and actually not forcing anything. So easy to notice, oh, this isn't right, that's not right, it's like this, it shouldn't be like this. And then we're trying to fix it. How to soften that whole effort. It's like, oh, it's not quite right, but we're patient. We just have awareness, gentle, kind attention. And perhaps we notice, you know, if we do this, that often enough something starts to shift, something starts to change in our experience. It's a well-known fact in biology. One of the first things I learned in biology is that all living forms look for balance. Things will, like organic systems will look to come back into balance. That's part of their nature, that's the Dhamma of things. We often don't need to force things back into balance. Things will find their way back into balance if we allow it. So often this attitude is more one of allowing. Allowing things to, oh, it's a bit out at the moment. I know it's a bit out. It's not right. And maybe we trust. Just trust a little more. Or I'll give it a little bit of time and just see. You know, I don't need to interfere yet. And maybe we slowly notice things, perhaps just little moves or little ways in which things begin to change. And perhaps we notice, like, how does that feel? Does it feel like it's moving in a direction which is one of letting go? Which is one of, in which, that condition perhaps which was unskillful or out of balance, you know, it is shifting, and it's shifting in a direction which feels good, feels right. So maybe we have a little more confidence, a little more trust in that. So I don't care if he suggested that I don't speak for more than 3 hours.
Yes.